It's Rob. Who else is
hey,
on?
Tom. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes,
sorry,
we were
laughing about some of the one-liners from last night's Golden Globes, and we didn't realize we were 2 minutes late. Sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry. I didn't hear those. I got to hear them. Anyway. So welcome back. New year. What's on your mind?
Lots. So Rob, Liz is joining us today.
Is Jeff on?
Hi, Liz.
Jeff, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah.
So I asked Liz to join us today because she heads up our marketing. She's a director of marketing along with Jeff, marketing and growth, but she's the real marketing director for what we do. And so with wanting to focus on centers of influence and that whole process, I thought it'd be very helpful for her to be involved in these.
Great.
So let's start there. In this week's video, you used a couple of terms that I'm not totally familiar with, so I made a note. Bear with me here. You used the term centers of influences within our niche or NES.
Yes.
So what are you using niche and NEST interchangeably?
Actually, no. A NEST is kind of an interesting term. It's a term for a group of people who are mutually associated with each other with no particular leader. So it could be a niche, but a NEST might be you get a doctor's group, right? So it's just a normal doctor's group. So that's, our doctor's group, a niche. Yes, but, within doctor's groups, we like to take niches and make them really more and more narrow. Like the more narrow you can get it, the more exciting, more interesting.
Okay.
So you like doctor's groups, right? Then how about cardiologists? How about cardiologists, neonatal cardiologists? Okay, that's our niche. Worldwide, we're the best in the world at helping those guys. That's the kind of how we work with niches. Inside each niche, we need to have a center of influence, somebody to introduce us around. Okay, that's a really important concept. So in order to be successful in your niche, inside, and you could almost say it this way, inside your niche, right? Your niche is neonatal cardiologist, but inside each nest, you need a center of influence. So at this hospital, here's a nest of neonatal cardiologists. There's five of them. Okay, we want to get every one of those guys in that nest. And there'll be a queen bee in the nest, and that's their center of influence.
That's you've got your center of influence, and you're just basically trying to, be involved with people that are around them.
That's right. And what the purpose of the niche marketing and this concept of NEST is to become an expert at that. And,
okay.
And that takes time, but it's what you should do. Now, if you were formerly a cardiologist, in neonatal cardiology and you became a financial advisor, that would be your natural niche. Okay?
Sure.
Otherwise, you have to learn it to the point where you can speak their language as if you are one of them.
Yeah.
And you can't do that for everything. But as you know, every company, including yours, has a language. And it's acronyms. And you guys speak it, and you're annoyed if somebody that is supposed to work with you or know you doesn't know that those are acronyms.
Yeah.
And if somebody that person does, then they are part of your culture and they're accepted. And that's who you need to become.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about, in the video, you talked about setting up our first meeting with a COI.
Right.
And I'm going to use a specific example here. Mm-hmm. So we recently sort of re-engaged an attorney that I knew from like 10 years but kind of lost touch with. And he's at a new firm. He was brought there because the lead estate guy is old, like 80s maybe, and he wants to turn the business over to this guy. And so they came to an event that we did. Jeff and I went to lunch with him, and he's like, yeah, we want to work with you guys. We want to partner with you guys. Let's go. And so he has, like, is it a monthly event that he does?
Mm-hmm.
Monthly event that he does on in the morning.
Every other month.
Oh, every other month. Thanks, Jeff. And that's this week. So Jeff and Liz and Austin are going to go there. And I said, hey, Jeff, why don't we use this as our sort of first trial run on, you know, the official introduction of this COI in a supernova fashion. So maybe walk us through how this should go, because we were thinking about inviting him or having him invite us to do, you know, a meet your team kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, meet the team, he will come if you ask him. So you ask him to come and visit you. And you guys stand up, you know, have some coffee or lunch or whatever you want, but just something, coffee's probably better. And you put on a dog and pony show for him. If he wants to bring his second in command, that's fine. But the idea is that you guys use your five-star model as your outline on how you're going to run the meeting. So each person discusses their role and responsibility as it pertains to the client. So why is it in our best interest to organize ourselves around the client? This is what we do, and this is how we do it, and this is how the client benefits. Keep in mind, they are most interested not in how you're going to benefit, but how the client is going to benefit. So planning, this is the way we anticipate events for our clients by doing planning, multi-generational planning. And keep in mind, it's very important to explain to them that we don't just do planning, but we make sure the client implements the plan. And he's seen the cases where somebody did estate planning and never retitled the securities. And they die. And it's a mess. And it's tragic. So we make sure things get done. That's our job. We make sure that the planning gets done and then it's implemented. Because, you know, estate planning attorneys, that's not their job. Their job is to draw the documents up and make sure they're correct and the best interest of the client. So then you just go through and the director of implementation. You know, we're in charge of helping to make sure the plan gets fully implemented as well as do the training for the team so that we stay on the cutting edge of everything that's going on. We have a 24-month calendar to make sure that we don't miss anything that any one of our clients needs. And we, through our 12-4-2 service model, we talk to every client every month and discuss these initial on the calendar. And we train the team ahead of time on these particular events, whether it's beneficiary or management or insurance management or whatever it happens to be, liability management. And then we make sure our back office.
I mean, we're talking, we've got a slide presentation. Would you have the next 24-month calendar up there?
Sure.
Behind you?
And I'd give them a copy. I'd give them a folder, and in the folder I'd have the 24-month calendar.
Okay.
Just think about how blown away. This is just not what he's hearing, right? It's just not. People don't work that hard. They're not that organized. They don't care. And then you go through brand management, how we protect our brand. And, you know, you can talk about what your minimums are and why you have them, because we really want to service our clients very well. We can only service so many. But we do it in a very thorough way. 12-4-2, I'm in charge of keeping track of the 12-4-2 calendar, making sure that we have the rapid response. Here's our rapid response team, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Go through that, how that works. And then marketing, why is it important to the client that we market? Well, it's important that we grow, right? If we don't grow and we don't stay strong, we're not here. So it's important for the clients that we be healthy and successful. And so we need to grow. And we grow by helping others, by servicing others, by becoming known and trusted in our community, and by marketing ourselves efficiently and effectively to clients that need us. And this is our market, you know, the $3 to $7.5 million market, or 2 to 5, whatever you guys. With our target being $7.5 million. So you want that number to be in their head. You don't want the 5 or the 2 or the 3 to be in their head. You want $7.5 million. That's our target mark. And then leadership, talk about how you work with your team, that everybody has a folder, everybody meets monthly. We work on personal and professional goals. We follow up. We make sure that each team member is doing their role and responsibility as it should be done. And then we support each other and help each other. And through proper leadership, we reach our goals. So they'll be really impressed. They'll be like, wow. And then, of course, you're going to go to their office either before this or after this, and they're going to do their show. I would probably go to their office first so you don't embarrass them too much.
They won't want to do it after we do it.
They won't want to do it. No, they won't want to do it. They'll avoid it like the plague because they're not even in the game. But it'll give them good ideas, and I'd also go ahead and give them the book, The Supernova Advisor, and say, hey, when you get a chance, read through this. I think you'll enjoy it. It applies to all service industries, you know, even professional industries like yourself. Because I've had a number of lawyers adopt a similar model, not quite as good as ours, but they like reading about it.
Okay, thank you. That was really helpful.
That's good. You guys have the capability. See, there's advantages and disadvantages of teams. The advantages are enormous, but there's disadvantages. And you know what they are. But you've got to take advantage and utilize the strengths and what the team can produce in order to make it work for everybody. And this is one of those examples, whereas a single person really can't bring the dynamics to this that you can. And there's no way they can compete with you, because it doesn't cost any more to have you than it does to have a sole proprietor. And look what they get. I mean, it's amazing. And that's awesome. See, to me, the future is going to be made up of things that look an awful lot like family office groups. And, you know, anticipating needs of clients, taking care of them, amazing service. And people are willing, ready, willing, and able to pay for that. What's going to go away are, you know, the old model and, you know, sole proprietor, transactional, so forth, where they really can't, you know, it's an emergency room. I used that analogy this morning. I said, you know, most people come to me, you guys not, but some, come to me and they are an emergency room. You know, they're a triage group. They're great. But it has nothing to do with anticipation. And, you know, it's great for service for the clients. They get great service. They save their lives and they move on. But the quality of life for the people in that is terrible. Everything is a fire. Everything is a train wreck. And then
Rob, we, you know, when I built out our 24-month agenda, starting with this month, you know, I think that the implications from Secure, getting rid of the stretch IRA, are enormous. And, you know, it's not really being talked about, but it totally changes everything from a planning perspective. It makes 529s and other things so much more valuable. And so, you know, we're talking this month to clients about, hey, this has profound implications. We've been thinking about it. We've been beginning to prepare for it. And we're going to address it with you throughout the year and during your annual review. Literally had a client today say, oh, my gosh, so glad you were thinking about this. I wasn't even, like, I read it and it didn't resonate with me, you
right.
know, until you just explained it, you know. And if we're doing our job properly, we can reinforce that along the way.
Well, think of it as, you know, as emergency room, regular family care, and then planning, right? The what you do is planning for people. So think of it in the medical term, be preventive medicine, right? And that's where healthcare should be going, right? And that's where you guys need to spend all your time, is on preventive care, preventing the disaster, planning well in advance so that they don't have the debt, they don't outspend their money, they don't make mistakes, and they don't make poor choices. So I think that is a really good analogy for you to use in explaining what you do.
Yeah.
All right. We anticipate change so that our clients are prepared for it and they can make better choices along the way. But that's pretty good right there. That's not bad.
Hey, Rob, can we change topics now to you talked about 24-month education and marketing calendar. So this is different than the 24-month call agenda calendar. Right?
Well, this is really important, John, because you and I know that when we would, you know, somebody would decide to do mortgages at our old firm, that all hell would break out when you'd send more than three or four to one department and they wouldn't be ready and the mortgage thing would break down and you'd almost lose the client and all that stuff. So with that in mind, you need to talk about debt, just like you need to talk about beneficiaries, just like you need to talk about long-term care at some point. So you need to talk about, you know, insurance and things like that. So you need to talk about these things. But you've got three parties that you're taking care of. One is you guys. You've got to train you guys so that you're ready for, let's say it's liability management. You got to know what the rates are, what you can do with mortgages, what, you know, what are securitized loans, what's margin, et cetera. So you guys have got to get some training. That's the director of implementation's job. Then you've got to go to the department head for mortgages, say, for example, and say, hey, we're going to call 400 clients this month about liabilities. We're probably going to do 40 mortgages. Okay, it's going to be the kids of our clients. It's going to be somebody. Maybe they refer us to somebody. Half the clients don't need mortgages because they've paid them off. But when you call somebody and you tell them what's going on, they think, my son needs one, or my daughter, or my this. Okay? So we're going to do 40 mortgages. And I want to know, you know, are you ready for us to do 40 mortgages? And what do we need to do to make sure that you're ready and we don't have any screw-ups? I want to have somebody assigned to our team for this 2 months or 3 months to follow up on these and make sure they're done right. So you make a deal with a supervisor or department head or whoever is running it that you're going to get a great client experience. You don't care about the rest of the firm. I love the rest of the firm. All I want is a great experience for my clients. Or I'm not going to do it. Okay? And he says, okay.
Rob?
Yeah.
Rob, this is Scott. So if there's, and we'll use mortgages as an example, what if there's an area that needs to be addressed, but you don't feel the firm has a service model or an expertise that is consistent with our level of service and expertise? Mm-hmm. Do you then use a third party to recommend people to? In other words, that's the problem. So if the mortgages aren't going to go smoothly, I'd rather not recommend clients use our mortgages or whatever the issue is you're discussing.
I think this is where your relationship with your leadership team is important, that you have that frank discussion on this, and then you go to the department head, and you say, look, you know, because most problems you have with mortgages is because some clerk sent the papers 3 times to your clients and lost them every time, or, you know, at the last minute they need paperwork on a spouse that's been divorce for 10 years, you know, it's just a nightmare. So you've got to have them in your pocket. And we know there are good people in these departments and there are bad people. You just need a really good person. And you got to make it a deal with them ahead of time that they are going to be the only ones dealing with your team and they're going to follow up and they're going to do a good job. And if there's any screw-ups, I'm immediately getting on the phone hammering them and then hammering you, Mr. Supervisor or Mr. Director of Mortgages. And if they agree, then you go ahead. But you got your manager on board, you got the department head on board, everybody's on board. And they commit to doing it. And then they're anticipating problems just like you are. So they're making the paperwork go smoothly and everything works out well. That's what I would do. I'd always give them a chance to show their best self. And, you know, if I didn't have that, I don't know what I'd do. This is the way I ran as a district, by the way, you can imagine. So I would do this as a district and I would make sure I had the department heads and the managers and everybody on board. And then I'd have staff of mortgage people. And if anything screwed up, I was on them like a cheap suit. So, but we got a lot of mortgages done and nobody, we did a very few complaints. Because you got that with every product, right? I mean, almost every product you take care of. Now, I mean, just think about doing insurance, right? Second to die policies or long-term care. You got the same thing. So build the ability to get things done right. What company doesn't want to do things right, especially your firm? You're very, you know, they're very young and aggressive and innovative. And I mean, they'd be very sad to hear that you guys don't think they can do mortgages. They can't do insurance. So let's give them a chance.
Okay, so the 24-month education is really director of implementation, making sure that the staff and FAs are trained and ready to implement and, you know, do a great job at the monthly topic.
That's right. And it's going to be, like, if you're going to do something like the outlook for 2020, that's a monthly topic. If you're going to do mortgages, that lasts for 2 months.
Yeah.
We went to that because of the follow-up, and we didn't want to break the back of our team because, you know, you do mortgages and then you introduce beneficiaries, or, you know, it'd be like crazy. Everybody would be in the middle of following up on their 10 mortgages and they don't have time.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll see that built into the calendar.
24-month marketing calendar is different. This is client events, things that we're doing, but just build it out for 24 months. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Because
you need time for that. You know, you need time, and you need to know, okay, we always do this. This is our regular event around the holidays, and this is what we do around the 4th of July, and this is what we do here. So it's client recognition, it's brand management, but if you're going to be working with centers of influence in this enthusiastically endorsed list, which I think you can really take and run as a marketing idea, you want to try and have an event or a couple of events around that group.
Yeah. In regards to that, we had a question. So on the enthusiastically endorsed list, you've got three acronyms. One is EE, one is
E,
and then an NE, and there's like an asterisk by them, but it doesn't denote what they are.
Yeah, enthusiastically endorsed, right? That's the EE.
Okay.
Not enthusiastically endorsed, and whatever the other one is. It's just
sure.
Basically there's three reactions that the public has when you ask them the question about their CPA. They're neutral. They're positive, or they're negative. So I just give you that as a way of marking it off.
I gotcha. Okay. Did anyone else have anything else?
Just think for a minute when you get, you know, you're going to get, the only reaction where you don't have any action to take is when he says he's okay, right? He's fine.
Sure.
But when they say he's great, well, that goes into the enthusiastically endorsed list. And when you get enough of those check marks in a local community, you want to know them. You need to know them. You have to know them. First of all, he's a good guy. He's your client is his CPA or whatever. And how about when they say, no, you know, I've kind of outgrown my guy. It's kind of time for a change. And you say, well, would you be open for an introduction to someone that is enthusiastically endorsed who our clients think an awful lot of? We go, sure. Well, you know, we have to introduce three. And they say, well, which one should I go with? And you say, well, this one seems to have the most enthusiastic endorsements, but I'd love you to talk to all three.
Awesome.
You know, and by this time, you will know who's the right fit. Because for some clients, you know, they're going to have, CPAs are going to have minimums too. They're going to have specialties. And there's also the regional stuff, you know, one's on the north side of town, one's on the south side of town and so forth. So you're going to need, you know, a number of them. And you've got a number of guys and gals there, so they can each have their own set.
Okay. Hey, Rob, lastly, can you comment on, we have a little confusion on, I'll use the term that I think either you coined or Scott did, the puppy dog close, where you,
yeah.
you know, give somebody a trial run at the Supernova process.
I'll have to give Zig Ziglar credit for the puppy dog clothes, but I don't actually know if he originated or borrowed it. But the puppy dog clothes is, you know, when you go to the pet shop and they say, "Oh, little girl, would you mind holding this little puppy while I look for what you're after?" And by the time you leave, the little girl doesn't want to let go of the puppy and takes it home. So what we want to do is put a finger on the scale, right? Because the client, this isn't everybody. You know, CPA introduces you to, and the person moved into town and they've got nobody else, and they're a CEO and they've never really had that much money, and they're eager, and you open the account, no problem. But you all have, especially when you get up into the $10 million numbers, you have a game called weighting the scale. And who's going to get the nod to be the financial advisor of choice? And so the client is weighing the scale all the time. I've got my old financial advisor, old Joe. I went to school with him. He was in my fraternity. You know, he's getting ready to retire, but he's been friends for a long time. And he doesn't call me, but I don't care. You know, I've done fine. And then there's you, right? You come along and you give him this big story, and he goes, "God, that sounds great. Call me every month, you do all this stuff." And then he kind of looks at old Joe and goes, "Yeah, but I can't fire old Joe. I'll wait till he retires." Well, that could be, you know, 10 years. So what you want to do is put a finger on the scale. So you give him a 90-day free look. So you basically give him the folder, tell him to take it home. You're going to call him every month. You'll have an agenda. You'll go through the agenda, and then next month you call him, go through the agenda. Next month you go see him and say, "This is how you work." "Yeah, we have an agenda. Send you an executive summary after we're done, and recommendations and things that we've agreed to do and you've agreed to do." And he says, "This is unbelievable. My guy hasn't called me in 6 months. You've called me 3 times. Come to see me. I'm happy to move my account." And he, you know, what's old Joe going to say? And you know, as you look around the industry, there's a lot of old Joes, right?
So, Rob, the other part of that question is, so if we identify someone that we would like to be a client, at any stage, whether, you know, it's just been a quick introduction, but they're at an asset level that they'd be a great core client, do we have them just as an unscheduled call on our calendar? Do you reach out to them monthly and say, "Hey, just wanted to let you know we're talking about the Secure Act this month and how it might affect our clients. Love to tell you a little bit about what we're talking to our clients about." Do you have them systematically on the calendar?
Yeah, I do it. I treat them as if they had just said yes. And that's what I'd say to them. I'd say, "We're going to treat you as if you are a client already. So you know exactly what it feels like. Just like you wouldn't buy a $150,000 Mercedes without driving it. You know, why would you do business with us without knowing what it feels like?" So then that justifies this experience for them. So we want you to drive the Mercedes, and we think after you do this for 3 months, you'll want to take it home. And they'll be like, "Ha ha, that's pretty clever."
Are you asking them to commit to being on your
absolutely
day of the month at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, and if they won't do it, then forget it. They're not interested.
So I guess that's what we're talking about. So the puppy dog clothes is one category, but the other category would be we've identified somebody with $10 million of investable assets. We got an introduction. You know, we, for whatever reason, we haven't gotten the meeting. We haven't done a financial plan. Should they be on the calendar to be calling monthly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, you want to make up a I made them yellow folders. You can make them any color you want. You want to have about 20 prospects that you have in the system that you put right into the scheduler. You make a folder for them, and they're, as far as you're concerned, they're going to be a client. And you call them every month. Try and get them to be on the schedule. If you can't, you just call. But you treat them just as if they were going to be. This is a little different than the 90-day free look. This is just prospecting.
Right.
But rather than, you know, doing it haphazardly and forgetting about it and, you know, not calling them for 3 months.
That answers our question. That's what we're after.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So everybody, if just think about it. If everybody has 20 folders, right? And they got a few, you know, 20, that's just one a day. But you got 20 folders that are good prospects, every teammate. Okay? That's your goal, right? So you call one a week. It's nothing, right? But at least you have 20 prospects that are good. So they're all live 20 prospects. Over a year, you're gonna have a lot more success than if you didn't have those 20 prospects and those 20 folders.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob. Good call, man.
Hey, thanks. Good. Well, you guys are great. I'm excited for you because you've got such a good team, and I appreciate the chance to coach you again. It's always easier, you know, it's more interesting. And I think, John, I think you get more out of this the second time through. You know, it's just the way it is. You're just so busy or building folders the first time. You don't have time to hear much. So, anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I'll call it a dog and pony show at a regional accounting firm at the end of the month that, you know, wants to do like a revenue sharing potentially with us. And they've got one other revenue sharing agreement in place, and I'm excited about just, you know, blowing them away. And when we walk out, having them go, why are we with the other group? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can dominate. You can own this world.
Yeah.
So that would be my goal, to be absolutely, and to just make these folders your mantra. Just, I know it, you know, whatever people say, you know, it's kind of old school or whatever, but make the folders your mantra. Just always, you know, whatever. Okay, we got a new center of influence. Got his folder built? Yep. Okay, we're ready to go. You know, new prospect? Got his folder built? Yep. It'll just get you organized and keep you organized. And that's the key to this whole game at your stage. You got a lot of players, and if every one of them's organized and set with a folder, and you got 20 yellow folders for each player, you got yourself a great machine going. You know, you got bunches of centers of influence and just a lot of activity, and activity generates results. So, you know, our problem always is never enough activity. So this helps generate the activity. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Good. Looking forward to great stories from you. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.